not that complicated. No matter what they say, I'll never meet another you. It's not that difficult to get my head around. I'll never meet another you.
This is a Podfic Off, an offer you can't refuse, by Avoiding Average. Summary. Are you one of the butcher's pack? I don't smell him on you. The question sent a frisson of unease through him. The truth was that if he did belong to the care pack, he would be marked by his alpha. An alpha's mark would ensure his safety and add legitimacy to everything he did. A pack and a family, all in one. Even the butcher of Blaviken could keep the members of his pack safe or die protecting them. Once upon a time, Jeske had had that. Once upon a time, he'd imagined the day when he would become an alpha himself and care for his own pack. Now he knew all of those dreams were nothing more than a fairy tale. Or the mafia werewolf AU no one asked for. Notes. I couldn't resist the urge to continue to explore another modern AU with more of my favorite feral Jeske and Geralt tropes. I hope you like it. A quick note, this story features werewolves, but not the traditional ABO structure. Instead, the packs work similar to mafia families, with an alpha leader and supporting members acting as enforcers and other jobs. Chapter 1. If he closed his eyes, he could pretend he was anywhere but here. He could pretend the microphone he was crooning into didn't smell like smoke, or that the rasp in his voice was from a night of pleasure instead of so many hours pushing his body to its limit. He could let the roar of the crowd chase away the thoughts in his head that never seemed to go quiet. All he needed to do was let the music erase the shadows waiting around him. Jeske closed his eyes and knew he was lying. It had become a familiar sensation in the last few years of his life. There was no way to erase the knowledge that burned inside of him, or the hatred that fueled every moment of every day. Some day it felt like if they buried him in the earth, the only thing that would grow would be made of ash and bone. "You should thank me, you know." Ignoring the hated voice in his head, Jeske's fingers never wavered as he plucked out a tune on a guitar in his hands. The instrument held none of the memories of the hand-carved piece of art his father had presented him with when he turned 16. He'd been forced to bury that guitar in a grave that still bore his name, with the promise that one day he would rest beside it. One day he would allow himself to rest. Tonight, his eyes drifted open to watch the crowd dancing along to the cover of the song he'd chosen for exactly that reason.
I know, I know, I know the situation's strange.
All of them were too focused on one another to even look twice at the man on the stage. It was a strange irony that singing in front of a microphone at the center of the spotlight gave him just as much cover as lurking in the shadows. He made use of that position now to look out over the crowd for the man he'd come here specifically to find. Kaer Morhen was the type of establishment that had been designed to appear like a space lost in time. Expensive wood paneling covered the wall to make the room resemble an old speakeasy or pub. The tables lined the walls at the back of the dance floor, giving the illusion of privacy without hiding the occupants or their dealings from the cameras hidden on the ceiling and angled towards the doors. Each design element and camera angle had been carefully arranged to stop any violence between the supernaturals lurking in the crowd and the humans beside them. The security was enhanced by the men and women prowling the floor, dressed in the dark clothes that were synonymous with the pack that controlled this area of the city. He watched the way their eyes flickered in inhuman yellow in reflection of the stage lights, and the occasional flash of two sharp teeth. Power simmered like waves of heat off each of them, bolstered by the pack magic that linked them together. The subtle threat of their presence ensured no one dared to break any of their rules, or, at the very least, that they wouldn't do it a second time. The Care Pack enforcer's roots were familiar now, even if he hadn't been an official employee of the club more than a weekend. They remained focused and wary, even without their terrifying leader looming in the background. Everyone knew better than to cross the butcher in his den. Yaskir had chosen his first night of work with exactly that in mind. It had cost him a pretty penny to learn the Alpha Wolf's schedule in advance, and he intended to get a return on that investment by completing his business tonight. He didn't want to test the butcher's reputation for checking the background of anyone who entered his club, or to test the senses of the wolves around him. His chances of survival relied on no one remembering anything about the man on the stage, playing a lackluster set. No one could recognize him. So he forced himself to wink at the pretty blonde fluttering her lashes at him from the edges of the stage. He kept his smile perfectly vapid and shallow, and ensured none of the other employees ever learned more than his drink order. It was the first night of a probationary week, required to prove that he was worth keeping on rotation as a performer. Yaskir ignored the competitive need to prove his skills in favor of giving an absolutely mediocre performance. Even the house band were openly disinterested in the latest in a long line of singers to grace their stage. Soon enough, they would forget him entirely.
It takes a little getting, a little getting used to.
A man moved at the edge of the crowd, angling toward one of the booths at the back. Beside him, a girl barely out of her teens had pulled herself into a skimpy outfit designed to look like a breath of wind could cause it to fall apart. She smiled up at her companion and leaned in to whisper something in his ear. Whatever it was made him scowl grumpily and reach into his pocket for his wallet while his date simpered up at him. Yaskir didn't bother to wait to see the argument before leaning away from the mic to signal that he needed a break, ignoring the fresh glass of water at his feet. The drummer rolled his eyes, but didn't protest. Yaskir let his fingers move over a final rift before leaning towards the mic. "We'll be back momentarily. Please take a moment to toss a coin to the lovely staff and bartenders." He smiled faintly at the drunken roar of approval and quickly slipped away from the stage, angling towards the booths where he'd last seen Voorhis. Occasionally, someone would move close, slurring and loud, but he ignored the feeble attempts at conversation. There was too much at stake for him to waste time with some dalliance. The noise and smells of the crowd threatened to send him into an overstimulated migraine, but he was used to the strain on his senses by now. Thankfully, the shifting crowd had the added benefit of covering his movements from the wolves lurking at the edges of the room. A familiar thrum of power surged beneath his skin, making his gums ache with the urge to shift. The beast within him was eager for the promise of blood. Yaskir ignored the temptation in favor of ducking past one of the Care Pack members and moving closer to the booth where Voorhis had grumpily settled himself. He knew how to be patient in a hunt. The Nilfgaardian wolf was easy to spot amidst the old-world splendor of the club. Voorhis was dressed in a charcoal-gray uniform that marked him as one of the higher-ranking members of his pack and had paired it with an obnoxious number of chains around his neck. A flashy gold watch around one wrist drew the eye toward the elaborate tattoo wrapped around his wrist that denoted his place in his pack. Despite this, he didn't notice Yaskir's presence until the singer was nearly on top of him. It took effort to ignore the urge to sink his teeth into the exposed skin of the enforcer's neck. Instead, Yaskir carefully timed his path to intersect with Voorhis so the wolf caught his scent before he made his way to the bar. He didn't bother to look to see if the Nilfgaardian took the bait. The musician leaned one hip against the bar top and flashed the bartender a grin. "I'll have a shot of tequila, please." The red-haired man grunted and reached for the bottles arranged on the shield behind him. Yaskir tapped out a fast rhythm on a scarred bar top, eyes scanning the room, reflected in the mirror behind the bar. As he waited, he fished out the phone in his pocket and tapped out a quick message to the only number in his phone. "Spotted someone I'd like to get a drink with. Check in later." He didn't bother to explain what he meant. Aiden knew exactly who Yasky was hunting for tonight. As soon as he sent the confirmation, Aiden would move into position outside the club, ready to provide backup when Yasky slipped outside or to phone in an excuse for a quick getaway. Two members of the care pack broke away from the crowd, angling towards an argument beginning to turn heated between two men. Their movements were subtle, but powerful enough that the men were pulled apart before they even realized the danger they were in. Clearly, the butcher knew what he was doing when he trained his pack. It was no surprise to see the care pack lived up to their gruesome reputation. In the 10 years since Geralt of Rivia took his place as their leader, they'd been a nearly unstoppable force in Blaviken. The pack's territory had expanded across the east side of the city, destroying anyone foolish enough to get in their way. Rumor had it that the butcher was flanked by an indestructible collection of direwolf enforcers, bound to him in ties that went deeper than blood. It was that reputation that had allowed the butcher to open up Kaer Morhen and proclaim it to be neutral territory to all wolves in the city. A few minutes later, Yasky was presented with a lime wedge, shaker of salt, and the shot glass. The bartender watched him down the shot, and hiss out a breath at the burn, immediately sucking on the lime wedge. "You know that guy?" the bartender asked. Yasky didn't turn to look at Voorhis or the lecherous looks the other man continued to direct towards him. "I don't know anyone here. I just moved to Blaviken last week." The bartender's scowl deepened, and Yasky caught the scent of evergreen trees lurking beneath the sharper scent of alcohol. Another shot was pushed across the table in his direction. "He ordered this for you." "Really? How nice!" Yasky made a show of turning to look and smiled brightly at Voorhis, raising the shot in a silent toast. When he started to move over to him, the bartender tapped on the bar, drawing his attention. "Be careful with that one, pub. He's not the type of wolf you want to attract the attention of." "Why? Is he dangerous or something?" He made sure his voice sounded uncertain, worried even. "All wolves are dangerous." The bartender pulled out a rag and wiped up a ring of condensation left behind from someone else's drink. Yasky noticed the button-down shirt the wolf was wearing helped disguise the edge of a knife holster. The other man looked annoyed at the topic of conversation, but didn't manage to hide the protective edge in his voice. "You'd be smart to avoid the Nilfgaardians unless you have a pack to watch your back. They're not to be trusted." "I thought Kaer Morhen was a neutral territory." "It is," the man grunted. "But that doesn't mean they won't try to get away with some bullshit." Yasky made a show of shivering delicately. "I don't know anyone foolish enough to cross the butcher." "Geralt can't be everywhere at once," he said. He looked down the bar towards where Voorhis was waiting. "Some packs enjoy targeting lone wolves. Better that you don't attract Nilfgaard's attention." Yasky looked at the wolf on the other side of the bar and felt his smile soften into something real. It had been a long time since he'd had someone worry about him. "I'll be careful." His eyes dropped to the name tag on the bartender's chest. "Lambert." "Just keep your eyes on your drink. That fucker's definitely not above drugging a date. Some wolves think anyone outside of a pack is free game." "Surely he can't be that bad." Lambert made a disgusted noise and moved towards a cluster of tipsy bridesmaids at the other end of the bar. Their excited chatter and flirtatious looks only managed to make the bartender's scowl deepen. Yasky watched him begin to take their orders before gathering his drink and moving towards Voorhis. As he moved, he made a point of keeping his gait loose and swaying like the alcohol had already gone to his head. Like most predators, a wolf wouldn't be able to resist such easy prey. It also helped draw attention to the tight fit of his leather pants and the cutouts cleverly arranged on his shirt. Voorhis's eyes were dark with interest by the time he'd reached him. "Hi!" Yeski chirped. He kept his face open and guileless, and ignored the way the other wolf swayed closer, helpless against the temptation. "I just wanted to say thank you for the drink." "You're very welcome," Voorhis smirked and tossed a few bills towards Lambert, signaling the bartender imperiously. "There's plenty more where that came from." It was obvious that Voorhis had never really had to work for sexual favors, nor had he ever had to consider whether his flings might be a threat to him. In his mind, what couldn't be bought could be threatened or blackmailed. Voorhis's tastes in liquor and sex ensured he never could rise above the position he held now, too much of a liability for his boss to trust in anything besides violence. In fact, it was entirely possible that Voorhis would be his most useful right before Yeski got at him. He let his eyes grow wide at the display of wealth. "Are you here with someone?" Voorhis's focus dropped to the shadow of a nipple flashing beneath Yeski's shirt. The wolf licked his lips. "Why, were you hoping I'd leave with you?" "Oh, no, I didn't. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to." Yeski made a show of ducking his head down, like he was hiding a blush. The movement made it easier to cover the way he'd palmed Voorhis's phone and slipped it into his own pocket. "I have to finish my set." If he could get Voorhis to follow him willingly out of the club, he could get the information he needed and be gone before anyone thought to question the nameless musician who'd chatted with him at the bar. Even better if he could just give Voorhis a location to meet him at. Then he wouldn't have to burn his fake identity right away. All he needed to do was ensure Voorhis was obsessed enough to walk away from the safety of Kaer Morhen. Yeski smiled and batted his long lashes, moving close enough to catch a whiff of the scent the Nilfgaardian was already flooding the area around them with. Beneath the sharp tang of sweat and liquor, Voorhis smelled like ash and oranges at the edge of ripeness. It made Yeski want to crinkle his nose in distaste, but he resisted the urge in favor of letting his hand drag across the other man's arm in a daring mimicry of a true scenting. Voorhis preened at the attention and sucked in a lungful of Yeski's scent, frowning a little. "Are you one of the butcher's pack? I don't smell him on you." The question sent a frisson of unease through him. The truth was that if he did belong to the Kaer pack, he would be marked by his alpha. An alpha's mark would ensure his safety and add legitimacy to everything he did. A pack and a family, all in one. Even the Butcher of Blaviken would keep the members of his pack safe or die protecting them. Once upon a time, Yeski had had that. Once upon a time, he'd imagined the day when he would become an alpha himself and care for his own pack. All of those dreams were nothing more than a fairy tale. He'd learned the hard way that a pack was a gift and a curse all in one. Deep in his chest, he could still feel the frayed ends of the connections that represented all he had left of his family. His own wolf remained restless, longing for a response that would never come. "I'm new," he said, ruthlessly pushing aside the ache in his chest. "Tonight's my first night working here." "Funny. I thought you might be one of the butcher's playthings. You're just his type." He smirked, letting his own beast rise to the surface until his eyes shifted into a dark amber and watched Voorhis's nostrils flare in response. "I'm no one's plaything, not even the butcher's." "Is that so?" a low voice asked from behind him. Yeski and Voorhis both went still. He didn't need to look at the Nilfgaardian's face to know exactly who was standing behind him. The musician sucked in a breath and tried not to sway beneath the sudden scent of power flooding the area around him. It felt like the air was vibrating beneath the weight of it, wrapping around him like a warm blanket. He didn't need to wonder who had approached. It was obvious in the way Voorhis's hand dropped from the bar and the other enforcer began to move away from Yeski like he was infectious. Slowly, Jaskier turned to face the absolutely massive wolf standing behind him, watching him with bright gold eyes. The alpha smirk widened at whatever expression was on Jaskier's face. Are you sure you wouldn't want to play, little bird?
I know, I'm always in your play. But don't you see, my dear, I am your doppelganger.